You are listening to a Sunday sermon from St. Thomas Episcopal Church in Bellevue, Washington. We are a community that seeks God's presence, serves Christ and others, and grows together in faith. Welcome to our podcast.
The following sermon was recorded on December 30th, 2018, the first Sunday after Christmas Day, by the Reverend Steve Best, Associate for Couples and Family Life at St. Thomas.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord. At the time of her birth, Missy Lovelace was already heading towards darkness. She was diagnosed with a genetic eye disease that would eventually leave her completely blind. In the first grade, she could still read small print, but by late elementary, she could barely read large print books. Inch by inch, she began her descent into darkness. To navigate hallways, she attempted to memorize the routes and depend on teachers, friends, and parents. Misty described her experience like this. It was like having really dark sunglasses and looking through a long tunnel that doesn't end. When her fifth grade class observed a mobile planetarium that had been brought to the classroom, she could only pretend to see the stars. And then a miracle happened. Genetic researchers at the University of Pennsylvania had created a possible treatment for her condition. It was totally experimental, but the risk was worth taking. And within 24 hours of this gene therapy, her eyesight had been completely restored. Misty's heart was filled with a kind of joy that we Christians recognize as Christmas. In her own words, she said, "I saw a burst of color. Everything was so much brighter." Soon afterwards, she could see the faces of her family members and the fabric seams on her stuffed animals. Missy could now see the stars in the sky that were once visible only to her classmates. And then she asked herself, "Is it real? Will it last? Will it be available to everyone who needs it?" This morning, the sixth day of Christmas, we're a little like Misty. As the stock market gyrates, political tensions within our nation continue to escalate, our government partially shuts down, Many of us are left wondering how long the bright lights and colors of Christmas can sustain us and hold back the darkness in our world. There's something so holy and sacred about light. In the physical realm, light brings forth warmth, color, texture, contrast. In the spiritual realm, light is symbolic of our goodness, of hope, of wisdom, of eternity. During the 12 days of Christmas, we celebrate the arrival of divine light through the incarnation of God's perfect and complete love in the form of his Son, Jesus Christ. We turn our attention to the infant Jesus, who has been born anew into our world as the light of lights, so we too can see how we're created by God to be children of this light. As God's children, we are created with the power to grow, to develop, to mature, and to bring forth the new possibilities that God has for us, for our nation, and for our world. The Gospel of John grounds us deeply in this ongoing creation story of God's. Grounds us in a way that's very different than what is written in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In the Gospel of John, for example, there is no mention of the birth of Jesus in a manger, no mention of Mary or Joseph, or the shepherds, or the wise men. Now, I believe that John already assumes we know that part of the story, so he invites us to think bigger, using our imaginations to see God's plan for humanity in cosmic dimensions. The Gospel of John also wants us to place the Christmas story, the nativity of Christ, right smack in the middle of the original creation story told in Genesis. The light, released in God's creation from the very beginning of time, sought to reveal and make real the promises of healing and salvation for all of his children. In the first chapter of Genesis, we hear these familiar verses. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. In Genesis, we see that light is the very first thing that God creates. Before the animals, before the birds and the reptiles, even before we human beings. And this makes complete sense if you realize that God is an artist. In the field of photography, there's a concept known as available light. Now, that's a little challenging in the Northwest, but still a great concept. This principle reminds the photographer that the more mindful you are of the natural sources of your light, the less you are dependent on artificial light, and the more you can use the artistry of edge lighting to reveal hidden textures, subtle facial features, and beautiful silhouettes. In other words, the better you understand the power of light, how God's artistry works, the more beauty you can create, the more beauty you can see and bring into the world. Remember the words of Misty, once her eyesight had been restored, "It was then that my world burst into color." I believe this analogy from photography helps us understand today's gospel reading from John, whose message weds poetry with theology. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In this awe-inspiring passage, we see the second person of the Trinity in action, not introduced as Jesus, but as the Logos, which is translated from a Greek word meaning word. A colleague of mine once asked a seminary professor, which is always a dangerous thing, why John used this abstract metaphysical concept that would have been so foreign to the ancient Jewish community. And apparently, my professor asked my friend what he thought the word, why he used words for the first place. Why do we use it in the first place? And then my friend said, to communicate, to have the words, and the language to express a thought that is so deep and full of love. To which the professor replied, precisely, God sent the incarnate word known as Jesus to communicate in words and every other way imaginable that he is the source of the divine light from which life and all beauty comes. Logos is a brilliant word choice to describe the cosmic dimension of God's mission and ultimate plan for our humanity. It bridged the gap between the Jewish and Greek worlds of Jesus' day. The ancient Greeks had a long-held belief that underneath all the highly volatile and chaotic things that are happening in the world, that there was a type of divinely ordered principle or reason governing the universe. The ancient Hebrew people also believed in patterned beauty in the world, and it was not random, but created by a loving God who desires to be in a covenant with his children. But what came together in the birth of Christ was the possibility of a personal relationship with God that was not far away or only a comforting metaphysical concept, but a real live, in the flesh, human being that could bring the heart and mind of God together in a child named Jesus. A child who would later become a man who could change the world, could change us, and bring us into closer relationship with him. The Word becoming flesh is both the zenith of God's creation and the completion of his perfect revelation of beauty and love in this world. God, who spoke earlier through the prophets of old, now communicates directly to you and to me through his Son, who now lives and dwells among us. During these difficult times in which we live, the distance between God and human beings appears to be so great as to be unbridgeable. However, today we learn that God, in the light of love, bridges these worlds, using himself as the very bridge, restoring hope to all who turn to him. And so I invite you, as you review the past year and prepare for the new one, to reflect on the following. How has the light of God awakened the colors in your life and brought you closer to his beauty? Take some time to remember a moment when God's light broke into your life during a time of darkness to bring you hope. Notice what it felt like when you finally bathed in this light. Consider how you might share this light with others and bring it more fully into our world. Not only this Christmas season, but in every season of our lives. Amen.
For more information about St. Thomas Episcopal Church, please visit our website, www.stthomasmedina.org. That's www.stthomasmedina.org.